Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network USA. I'm delighted indeed to welcome a friend and somebody who is second in command to the Taoiseach, Prime Minister of Ireland, but his territory actually is global. So let me, from Laoise Offaly, friends, welcome Minister for Foreign Affairs and Trade, Minister Charlie Flanagan. You're very welcome.
I'm very pleased to be here in New York, particularly this week during the St. Patrick's Day festivities. I've had a very busy time here in New York, having come on the train from Washington earlier in the week, where I had the opportunity of some high-level engagement along with the Taoiseach, where we're welcomed to the White House by Vice President Joe Biden, and indeed President Obama himself. And I have to say, there was a really warm reception given to the Taoiseach in Washington, in the White House. A further reaffirmation of the really close and positive relations between Ireland and the United States of America. An acknowledgement of that special relationship by President Obama himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Taoiseach cut short his visit to Washington as he had to attend the European Council meeting in Brussels, which is ongoing as we speak, and also the matter of government formation. So I came on the train here to New York, and if I can't be in Dublin for the St. Patrick's Day parade and festivities, the best place in the world to be is on Fifth Avenue in New York. And I was delighted to be here.
We can't give you an argument on that one, Minister.
Yeah, it was a fantastic day. Started off with an early morning breakfast with Mayor de Blasio.
Mm-hmm.
He present himself, again confirming the special status of the relationship between the city of New York, mm-hmm, and Ireland. And that was a great opportunity. And on then to the traditional St. Patrick's Day Mass in St. Patrick's Cathedral. I haven't been in the cathedral since its renovation, and indeed it was my first time to attend the Mass celebrated by Cardinal Dolan.
You need to clean your shoes now on the Mass before you go into the spectacular place.
Well, it was a wonderful occasion. Cardinal Dolan, and indeed his larger-than-life presence,
mm-hmm,
added great value to what was a solemn ceremony, but at the same time, very much St. Patrick, Ireland, New York, a who's who of Ireland in New York, and then everybody leaving the traditional St. Patrick's Day Mass for the great parade, taking up to 5 hours in terms of its longevity, and some 200,000 people involved in a marvellous celebration,
yes,
of Ireland, New York.
And of course, right after Mass, you were the prime speaker, the keynote speaker, at the Ireland Chamber of Commerce in the Waldorf as well. A great gathering of the political who's who from New York State and beyond.
Well, it's a great opportunity. St. Patrick's Week and St. Patrick's Day, to my mind, is the envy of the international political establishment. I don't know of any other country that has the same purchase, the same influence, the same authority as Ireland has in many international cities throughout the world, but particularly here in New York, and that's a testament to what Irish people, our ancestors, have done here in this great city of New York. We're very proud of the relationship, and we're also very proud of what we have contributed in terms of business, commerce and trade, arts, culture and heritage, and of course in politics. And I was delighted to have the opportunity of meeting some of my fellow politicians in the course of the day, and of course, as well as celebrating St. Patrick's Day, we look forward to the commemoration,
yes,
of 1916, which is coming up shortly.
Now, I want to acknowledge, friends, that we're actually having this conversation in one of the finest places in New York City. I being from Mayo, I don't want to say it's the finest place because, you know, we might come up with something, but Pier A in Battery Park, it has got to be, without a doubt, a sight to behold. An historic place, but one that indeed many Irish Americans and friends of Ireland will know a lot better on April 24th.
I'm conscious of the fact that we're on radio, but I'm looking out over your left shoulder at the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
Here from Pier A at the end of Battery Park, and it itself a most historic building, and now under the ownership of Danny MacDonald, who mm-hmm. hails from County Laois like myself, this building is a very, very important structure in the context of the relationship between Ireland and New York, and we will be having our 1916 commemoration here in Pier A in April of this year. So it's a historic building that has very much retained its Irish flavour, Irish ownership, and I understand that there was a big party here last night as well. So Pier A is firmly established as Ireland, New York.
Let us get to your launch, among other things, and obviously you've had meetings back to back, not only in Washington but here. But you're officially launching on St. Patrick's Day here, and you know, for once and for all, we had to get St. Patrick's Day under our belt before we look forward. But the clock is ticking very quickly towards April 24th, the centenary of the rising, in Dublin, which led to Ireland's independence.
Yeah, this is the most important year, and preparations have been ongoing for the past 12 months, inviting everybody in the city of New York and beyond. And can I say that our commemoration will not be exclusively for Irish people, but I'd like Irish people who will be participating and attending many of the events across a range of pursuits, that it would invite people to participate, to come along, to get a taste of Ireland, to share in our experience in a most inclusive way. And that's another reason why I was particularly pleased to be part of the St. Patrick's Day Parade here in this city, because not only is it the biggest and the best parade in the world, but also this year it was the most inclusive. And I think that in the context of our centenary of 1916 mm-hmm. is important. And our 1916 commemorations here in this city, again, I would stress inclusivity, a place for everybody, friends of Ireland, and those people who mightn't be familiar with Ireland, our history, our culture, our heritage. So it will be an opportunity not only to reflect on the events, the momentous events of 100 years ago, but also to reflect on the past 100 years in terms of Ireland, our place in the world, and also perhaps most importantly, to chart the course for the next century and the type of Ireland that we would like to see in 100 years' time for future generations of Irish people.
You know, initially, when we saw the rollout, not just for the 1916 in Wagner Park here in Battery Park in New York City, but throughout the world, we were wondering how we could temper the commemoration and celebration, and that is what we're doing. We have to celebrate how far we've come in 100 years, and that's for the diaspora. That says a lot and should be acknowledged.
It's absolutely essential that we mark these historic occasions in the life and times of Irish people, and the facts cannot be disputed. But it's important that we reflect on the type of island that we now have, and the type of Ireland that we wish to see for future generations. And I stress inclusivity and sharing, that we reflect on our shared history, our shared tradition. And I was also pleased to meet earlier this week in Washington with Northern Ireland First Minister Arlene Foster and Deputy First Minister Martin McGuinness. Again, an opportunity to engage at the highest level with political colleagues out here in America. And can I again stress, Adrian, the really important role played by America in terms of our ongoing peace process. There are issues and challenges and problems over the years, some of which still exist, that we are unable to resolve ourselves, and the third party influence at the third party authority of the United States and its political leaders has been really important. And from President Obama right across the political spectrum, there has been what I would describe as a special and unique relationship, and I'm delighted that the live interest in Irish political life is very much maintained, and that again is exemplified by the presence of Senator George Mitchell as Grand Marshal of the New York Parade. And George Mitchell has done more than most in terms of ensuring ongoing dialogue and mediation and facilitation, that we can sit around the table and resolve our issues in a way that wasn't possible here before.
I think it would be, in speaking with you, no better person to kind of single out as somebody who had tremendous influence in Northern Ireland in the thick of the peace process. As we speak of the peace process, since the Good Friday Agreement, the process has taken place and is still ongoing. But you're much closer to it than many others.
18 years since the signing of the Good Friday Agreement in 1998. We in Dublin will be marking that occasion with an event in the Abbey Theatre. We have come a long way since 1998, and we have done so by ensuring that political dialogue remains active and that the channels of communication remain open. Our power-sharing institutions are working very well in Northern Ireland. Assembly elections are coming up in May. But there are always issues that remain to be progressed. And I was very pleased before Christmas that we completed agreement on the Fresh Start Agreement.
Yes.
There are aspects with particular reference to the legacy issues of the past, the place of victims and survivors that need to be resolved. And I look forward at an early date to sitting down again with the Secretary of State, Theresa Villiers, and the First Minister, and the Deputy First Minister, and all political leaders in the North, as we look towards resolving most sensitive and personal and challenging issues of dealing with the place of victims and survivors of the Troubles.
Now, of course, in negotiations, not only in negotiations, but very much part of the fabric of the peace process in Northern Ireland, we were delighted indeed to get our own Consul General, Barbara Jones, who as a matter of fact worked very closely with you in Northern Ireland during that peace process. She was only a wet week in the job, and we
that's correct.
Snatched her from you.
Within hours of my appointment as Minister for Foreign Affairs in July 2014, I visited Belfast, and I met Barbara Jones, who had been a most active representative of the Irish government in Belfast. Within 48 hours, she was transferred to the position of Consul General in New York.
It wasn't anything you said, Minister.
it most certainly wasn't. But can I say, when I speak of the special relationship between Ireland and New York, that is reaffirmed on a daily basis and a work in progress of an ongoing basis that is testament to the very hard work of Barbara Jones, Consul General, her team, Anna, and Gerard, and Shane, who worked tirelessly to ensure that the relationship between Ireland and America, between Dublin and New York, is as positive and as special as it is. And it's not only political, it's throughout a range of pursuits: arts, culture, writing, heritage, business, trade and commerce. A relationship, to my mind, that no other countries have in terms of ensuring across a range of issues that it's warm, it's constructive, it's positive, and it's moving forward, recognizing the shared history of our island, recognizing what Irish people have done towards ensuring that the United States of America is as powerful and as authoritative on the world stage as it is. Irish people have done that, and we need to acknowledge that. And similarly, the United States has been particularly beneficial to Ireland in terms of our recovering from a very dark place economically that we were during the international financial crash of 2008-2009.
Yes. My guest, Franz, is Minister for Foreign Affairs and Trade for Ireland, Minister Charlie Flanagan. Just want to reflect, if we can, on the historical and very real connection between New York and 1916 and the Rising. That is something that indeed is not just mythical. This is fact. And there are those who said that without the support, you know, from New York and indeed from America, that Rising would not have taken place. And if it did, it would have been in a different form with a very, very difficult and different outcome.
Just last night in the consulate, while engaging with Irish people and New Yorkers, I read again the text of the proclamation, wherein America is mentioned, the only country actually specifically mentioned in the proclamation, acknowledging, of course, that James Connolly lived here, that Pádraig Pearse came here prior to the Rising, and, of course, the active involvement in New York City of the Fenians, undoubtedly the inspiration and much of the planning took place here in New York. And again, it's important that we reflect on that special relationship in the context of the commemoration of the Easter Rising, as we will be doing next month. And could I also say, just in terms of the relationship between Ireland and New York, I was very pleased to acknowledge the important role, often underestimated, underappreciated, of the first Irish Catholic mayor of New York, W.R. Grace, who came from my own constituency, my own county of Laois. I had an opportunity of engaging with people here in New York to ensure that we can further cement that relationship, acknowledging the contribution of Grace and his family. And I look forward to ensuring that the contribution of W.R. Grace is remembered in the context of our relationship between Ireland and New York.
Well, nepotism being alive and well here, I couldn't let the occasion go without mentioning that my own uncle, Bill O'Dwyer, was mayor of New York here, and during a period, a very crucial period here in New York as well, and of course the legendary Paul O'Dwyer, another brother of my mother, a great legacy there as well.
The O'Dwyer contribution to this city and indeed to the relationship between Ireland and New York is immense. And I look forward next month to welcoming a delegation to Ireland that will include Brian O'Dwyer,
mm-hmm.
Who himself has made a very strong and positive contribution towards cementing our relations.
I want to ask you, Minister, about the threat or the significance, at least, in Britain's withdrawal from the European Union, and what that actually means, how likely is it, and what would that mean for Ireland?
All the economic indicators in Ireland are currently very positive, and record economic growth, not only across the Eurozone, but also throughout the European Union. Our unemployment has fallen from a high of 15.2% in 2012 to 8.7% now, still very high. While we have made huge progress in terms of ensuring our economic recovery, there still remain some threats and challenges. And you have referred perhaps to the greatest one, which is the vote that takes place on the 23rd of June in the United Kingdom, as to whether or not the United Kingdom remains a member of the European Union. The threat and the challenge that poses to us is obvious because they are our nearest neighbour and the only other English-speaking country within the European Union, and our nearest neighbour in terms of trade, commerce, and indeed our strong historic and culture and indeed political links. The position of the Irish government, and indeed it's one that I've been amplifying at every opportunity myself, and we firmly believe that it's in the best interests of the European Union and indeed of the United Kingdom to remain strong members of that union. I was at a meeting of the 28-member Foreign Affairs Council of the European Union on Monday last. We will have another meeting in April. And this is very important to Ireland in the context of our relationship not only with Britain, but with the European Union. It has significance in terms of commerce and business and trade, but also in terms of our relationship with Northern Ireland and our constitutional position following the signing of the Good Friday Agreement in 1998. I certainly would like Britain to remain a strong member of the European Union. I respect the fact that this is a decision that will be taken solely by the sovereign people of the United Kingdom. But as a neighbour, and indeed as a stakeholder, being an equal member of the European Union ourselves in Ireland, I am strongly advocating that Britain remain a member of the Union.
We, first of all, we're delighted that on this trip, once again, that you are with us to launch what is going to be very, very significant in the 2016 commemoration of the 1916 Easter Rising. On April 24th, there is a welcome. You don't have to be from New York. You don't have to be even from Mayo or Offaly, for that matter. You're invited, indeed, to Battery Park and to Wagner Park, which is right beside Pier A. And the Welcoming Ireland, which is now the motto for this. That is not something that was picked out of no place. This, on this very spot where we are, and in Wagner Park right here, is where our ancestors first put their foot on American soil.
Many of them in very difficult circumstances, impoverished, downtrodden, lacking in hope, oftentimes despairing. It was an extremely difficult challenge for them. We overcame that challenge. Those people acted with huge courage and in a spirit of positivity. Ultimately, they helped build the United States of America. And I urge everybody to reflect over the next few weeks as we commemorate the historical week of Easter 1916, and that we encourage friends, neighbours, and those perhaps not immediately associated with Ireland to reflect on what it is to be Irish and what it is to be Irish in this great city of New York.
The day, as indeed we had 100 years to prepare for this day, and indeed we will be able to demonstrate the arts, culture, music of Ireland, in addition, of course, to the reading of the proclamation, not only to the day, but actually to the minute of something that would indeed, in all of the history of Ireland, that one singular day and that reading of the proclamation is why 100 years later we're here.
Exactly, and I also undoubtedly say that the ideals and the objectives of the 1916 proclamation are very much to the fore in the context of our government in Ireland, our policies for our people, and the policies of all those wishing to secure a very vibrant and bright future for the people of Ireland and future generations.
Finally, Minister, I just want to again ask you to to just in a capsule tell us about the last 5 years. It is well known that when your government, led by Fine Gael, and in coalition government with Labour, when you came on board, frankly, Ireland was an economic mess. It seems, as we look back, a lot longer than that, but the Shohran that was already created and handed over was something that most economists said wouldn't give it 10, 15, 20 years and you'd be all right before we do it. That 5 years was a very painful experience for the people in Ireland.
When Enda Kenny took over at the government of Ireland as Taoiseach in 2011, he made one firm and solemn commitment to the Irish people, and that is that he would do his damnedest to fix the Irish economy. And he did that over a period of 5 years in partnership with the Labour Party in very, very difficult and challenging circumstances. Very tough decisions had to be made. The Irish people showed a great level of resilience. Of course we didn't achieve everything that we would have liked to achieve in terms of economic recovery right throughout the regions of Ireland. But nevertheless, all the indicators are positive. The most important one of which is the question of jobs at home for our people. In the last quarter of last year, for the first time in over 7 years, there has been net immigration into Ireland. In other words, people are returning, many of whom were forced to emigrate following our economic collapse of 2008-2009. They're returning to Ireland with experience, with expertise, and they are securing jobs at home across the region of Ireland. Mm-hmm. And I think that is perhaps the best barometer of economic success. Our unemployment is still over 8%, but we're working towards that, the objective being that everybody who lost a job consequent on our crash will have that job back by the year 2018, and that we will achieve full employment by the year 2020. It won't be easy. Currently, the situation is that Enda Kenny, who departed Washington earlier this week, is discussing with smaller parties with a view towards not only forming a government, but forming a stable government. And stability and certainty is very important in terms of planning, whether it's investment or whether it's a series of policies that will ensure that we continue on the path of economic growth. And I expect that progress will be made in that regard in the shorter term.
I'd like to finish by quoting Vice President Biden, who said, Mr. Kenny has done a hell of a job. And, you know, still the most popular leader in Ireland. I think that the thing I like about the Taoiseach, he, like all of us in politics, he did a hell of a job. And he's still the most popular guy in the state and the country. And he lost. He lost seats in the last election. But when I said something to him about this earlier, he looked and said, it's going to work out. It's going to work out. It's going to work out. It will.
I was delighted to hear Joe Biden say that. If that quote was attributed to me, Adrian, I'd be accused of party political bias. I think nobody could accuse Joe Biden of such a position. But listen, he's absolutely right. Enda Kenny has shown great leadership through very difficult times. In spite of an election result that has been somewhat disappointing, and of course I accept that. I accept the will of the people. My party, Fine Gael, has 50 seats out of the 158 seat Dáil Assembly. So the obligation and duty is on the leader of the largest party, Enda Kenny, to help form a government, and that he is doing over this weekend into early next week, with a view towards ensuring that Ireland has a government and a stable government for the next 5-year period.
Okay, well, I'd like to add to Joe Biden's endorsement is that if there are any in Ireland, if there are any politicians who can do better than your government and the government of the last 5 years, they really have to step up to the plate. Minister?
Well, it was a privilege to be here, Adrian. I wish you continued success.
Thank you. And friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA.